time to talk NBA with Keith Smith from Spot Rack and the Front Office Show. And on Twitter X at Keith Smith NBA. Here's Keith Smith talking basketball with Bryant and Brett.
Keith Smith joins us now on the Sissy's Log Cabin phone line to talk the NBA, and a lot to get to as we get closer to the playoffs. Keith, last night the Lakers were in town to face off against the Grizzlies. I know a lot of people excited to see LeBron James in action. We got to see the oldest player in LeBron James versus the youngest player in Gigi Jackson, which was a fun storyline. But this Lakers team, they've now won five games in a row. What do you think about them kind of in the play-ins right now? What do you think about this team as we get closer to the playoffs?
Yeah, nothing's really changed for me with them. I think they have the ability to be somewhat dangerous, but I don't think they're going to make any kind of run that approaches anything like last year. One, it's just that's not going to happen very often. Mm-hmm. And two, they don't do anything easy enough. They're an okay defensive team. They can have good offensive nights, but they don't score very easily. They're just a fairly good team, but one that's somewhat limited. So I think I'm about where I've been on them for a few months now.
Yeah, even if they were able to squeeze in or out of the play-in and get into the playoffs and be the team facing Denver, they're not beating Denver four times in 2 weeks.
Hmm. No, absolutely not. I don't even know that it would be all that close of a series. And I know, Lakers fans love to remind everybody, hey, all those games were close. Yeah, and it was a four-game sweep.
So that's right.
It's, none of the, it only really matters how, if you won the series or not. So, all right, that's kind of where I'm at with them. I do think there's a world where, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, they can be dangerous opponents. And, they're going to make it life difficult on people because of who they are. But, yeah, facing a team like Denver, if they end up being the eighth seed, they're going to struggle. Even Minnesota and Oklahoma City, if they come in as the seventh seed, they're going to have a hard time with those teams too, because those teams are also very, very good.
Keith, we're still very young as a town to have the NBA in, that wrapping up our 23rd year of the Memphis Grizzlies. But last night, the oohs and ahs and just the fan reaction to LeBron James. I didn't get to see Michael Jordan in his heyday, and I know how great he was, but I can't imagine any other player getting that kind of reaction to really just jogging out for pregame like LeBron James, I think warrants and gets.
Yeah, I it's funny with LeBron. I've done a complete 360 because I was all about LeBron when he first came in because I thought he was going to be really good. And there were a lot of people who were like, high school kid, he's never going to figure it out. Kevin Garnett was a one in a million and all this stuff. And everybody's proclaiming this kid to be great. And then by the time he went to Miami, I was kind of done. I was kind of over the whole thing and, kind of at a point where I was like, all right, I don't know how much more I need. Now I've come all the way back around where I'm like, hey, we got to really recognize we're watching greatness mm-hmm. here. Really take the time to enjoy, everything that this guy does, because who knows how long it'll be before we see it again. Maybe we're witnessing it, start of it with a guy like Victor Wembanyama, but to put that on him is a lot. I mean, LeBron is, in my lifetime, he's either one or two, and, it's one of those conversations where I said, I'll hold off until he's done, and then we can have that conversation between him and MJ.
Yeah, well, it's just, to see him continue to go out at his age and do what he does on a nightly basis is really just incredible in and of itself to watch. But another team that is kind of interesting down the stretch here as we get close to the playoffs, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've kind of struggled as of late, I think 2-5 in their last seven games. But looks like Donovan Mitchell could return to the lineup as early as Friday for them. They're currently number four in the East, a half game behind the Knicks, 2.5 games behind the Bucks for second place. With Donovan Mitchell returning to that lineup, do you think they can make even more of a push, kind of reverse this recent struggle and make a push for that third or second spot in the East?
Yeah, the second spot's probably going to be kind of tough at this point. They've only got 9 games left.
Right.
So making up 3 games with only 9 games left is tough. I know that sounds crazy sometimes to people, but put that as simple as if the Bucks go 6-3, which sounds about right for them, that's about the pace they've been on this year, the Cavs would have to go 9-0 to make up those three games. There's just not a lot of time left. So that becomes a really difficult proposition there. Now with the Knicks, for sure, and they've got to be peeking a little bit the other way to make sure the Orlando Magic don't catch them from behind, you know, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, after fighting for the two seed, you're going on the road in the first round. But, yeah, getting Donovan Mitchell back and having a couple weeks with their, hopefully, knock on wood, full, healthy lineup together, they look like, you know, that could, you know, really benefit them going into the postseason.
For Joe Mazzulla, sitting on top, been on top all year with the Boston Celtics, hard job or easy job right now, maybe just kind of guiding this thing to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Well, when you put to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, that's hard because you still got to win in the playoffs. And winning in the playoffs is, you know, it's a challenge. It always will be a challenge. So that's going to be, you know, the tough part of this. Now, as far as, you know, the rest of this regular season, it's pretty easy. You just got to get the guys there healthy. And you're seeing them pretty much in every game that they're kind of spotting a guy or two or three guys a rest day and basically saying, hey, just take your time. You know, if you're feeling anything, you're not going to play. There's no reason because they've clinched just about everything. They're closing in here in the next couple games on clinching, everything, which means the entire, you know, deal of, you know, having the best record in the NBA. And once that happens, then it's about rest versus rust. How much do we rest guys to make sure they're ready for the playoffs versus how much do we make sure these guys are, getting the reps they need so when we walk in to that first playoff game one of the first round, we're not, you know, having played a, you know, minute here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Who would be your coach of the year if you had to vote right now?
Yeah, this is always an interesting question because who it usually goes to is whatever coach kind of exceeds expectations the most. You know, generally that's where that's going to go. But I do think there is, something. I do think Mazzulla should get some consideration. The team has been historically good, and they've been historically good with him playing a style that a lot of people had issues with and comments on over the last couple of years since he's been in charge. I think Mark Daigneault with the Thunder is going to get a lot of Coach of the Year love. I think people expected to be okay, but I think people thought, all right, they'll be in the play-in mix and not fighting for the top seed in the conference. And then Jamal Mosley, the Magic, they've come along. That's kind of the more traditional team was really, and all of a sudden here they are as a playoff team. So, you know, we've got a couple weeks left if the Magic somehow slipped down into the play-in tournament, which I don't think they're going to, but if they did, that probably takes some of the shine off Mosley a little bit. And then if somebody like Daigneault can win the conference, he's going to get a little bit extra love. So those are the guys who jump out to me.
And you will be, you live there in Orlando, that fan base will be hungry when they show up for that first series. It will be towel waving and glad to be back. They'll be appreciative of being back in the playoffs.
Yeah, it really will. One of the things that's changed since I've lived here in Orlando, which I've lived here for the better part of 20 years. I lived in Southern California for a little while during that time. But living here in Orlando is the fans now. There's a whole generation of people who grew up as Orlando Magic fans. It's not unlike Memphis in that the team's in its 35th year, so it's been around a little bit longer than the Grizzlies have been in Memphis. But you had a lot of people when I first moved here who they weren't necessarily Magic fans. They were NBA fans. But they came with their team. Like, I came as a Celtics fan, and I wasn't going to change that. Now you've got whole generations of folks who are paying for tickets and buying season tickets that the Magic are their team because they grew up here, and that's a very different kind of thing to have. And it's a fan base that really does get behind the team. They've had some crowds in recent weeks, especially as this team has proven, like, hey, we're making a full playoff run here, not just a play-in run. The crowds have been loud. They've been very vocal and really behind the team, which is a lot of fun.
Keith, that is just a really laid out good point. And I try to tell people here, it takes a while for that root to grow for that 10-year-old fan when the Grizzlies hit town fall of 2001. Well, that's really all he or she knows. I mean, that's their team, and not to be too too critical of the Laker fandom that kind of took over last night and people that want to see the out-of-town stars. It's happening. I would say our 23 years with the percentage of playoff years, it's been pretty good.
It's been really good, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where I remember when it was clear, the team, you know, they traded Marc Gasol, and then that next summer they traded Mike Conley and was like, all right, the Grizzlies are rebuilding here. There was a lot of talk of, you know, how are people going to take this? Because for the most part, all they've known is winning. And it was like that with when the Thunder moved to Oklahoma City. They moved there just as the team was ready to kind of take off by Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and then they get James Harden. And when they turned into, all right, we're going to do this rebuild thing, it was, how are people going to take this? Because they've never been through it. And, you know, both franchises, they flipped it pretty quickly. You know, there's some teams like Orlando where it's like, hey, rebuilds are supposed to take 5, 6, 7 years. And it's like, you guys flipped it in 2 years, and now all of a sudden you're, you know, out there competing for the playoffs and playing really well. So that's been the really kind of interesting thing, I think, with the Grizzlies. And you're absolutely right where, you know, it happens here in Orlando when the Celtics play here, the Knicks play here. The building is filled with transplants who moved into this area in Central Florida. And I'm sure it's the same. You know, some teams are just going to travel really, really well. And if the local home team is not super duper established, it's going to be kind of hard to, you know, get momentum towards filling out the building.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Keith Smith, he joins us every single week to talk the NBA from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show. I know last night the Los Angeles Clippers got a win over the 76ers and what became kind of a wild one with both teams kind of, or I guess more of the 76ers being very frustrated at the end of that one. But before that, the Clippers had lost back-to-back games, and Ty Lue, after the game Monday, a 17-point loss to the Pacers, called his team soft and said they could be tougher mentally and physically. They're under 500 since the All-Star break. I remember kind of all of the shock and what is wrong with this team when they first got James Harden, but then they were able to turn it around. Now maybe another low for them. What have you made lately of this Clippers team? They've got two teams behind them, kind of, you know, starting to get closer and closer in the standings. What do you think about them as we get closer to the playoffs?
Yeah, you're trying to decide with the Clippers. Are they the team that's struggling right now, or are they the team that would play, I want to say something like 22-5 or 22-6 over a long stretch of games? And it's a little hard. Like, one of the things I always have to remind people is we can't overreact to March basketball. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of weird stuff happens in March, and you get some, you know, absolutely, you know, bonkers results where it just, none of it ever feels real. And then by the time we're, especially for these playoff teams, we're into the beginning part of April and into the postseason, it's like, oh yeah, I remember March when they lost to, you know, the team that finished, you know, last in the conference, and everybody kind of laughs at it. So I think a lot of it is, if you were a Clippers believer during that period, you want to kind of hold to that. That said, they're not playing as good defensively. They've really slowed down offensively, and this is a team that I think benefits from pushing the ball a little bit, finding some easy offense. They're the most ISO-heavy team in the league, where a lot of it is, hey, we're going to pick and we're going to work till we find the mismatch. And then between Harden and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, we're going to go to work that way. And I really do think they miss Russell Westbrook and his kind of chaotic energy off the bench. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all, you know, comes together and if they can rally, because I know myself, I was kind of there where I was like, all right, I kind of believe again in these guys. They might be able to pull this off.
When is Russell Westbrook's return?
He's back. He came back already. He played the other day and looked good physically. He was okay. The game wasn't great for them, but he was back and looks good. So he's back out there doing his thing.
Tell me the place I can go and find out how many minutes played by the four surefire Hall of Famers, because the last time they were here, I was at the game, and they played about 6 minutes with each other. They played none with each other the other time they came to Memphis this year. Is there a place that charts that?
Yeah, you can get those from the lineup stats on Basketball Reference. NBAstats.com has that, or stats.nba.com, whatever it is. It's the NBA stats. So you can pull the lineup stats, and you can pull a four-man lineup with those four guys in it and see you know, how much they've played together, how many games, how many minutes, and how they do, you know, well, what is their, you know, performance? Are they outscoring teams? Are they getting outscored? What does it look like?
I think it's been rare, though, don't you?
Yeah, it hasn't been all that often because generally when they've got Westbrook in the game, it's usually Harden who's out. He plays some with Harden, but that's kind of almost some bridge minutes at the beginning and end of the second and the end of the first, beginning second, end of the third, beginning of the fourth quarter. For the most part, yeah, he's kind of slotted in more as Harden's backup. And then with other guys being out of the lineup, Paul George has missed some time. Harden's missed some time. And then Westbrook, of course, surprisingly, maybe to everybody, I know at least to me, Kawhi Leonard's been the most healthy guy of that foursome for the Clippers this year.
If the Clippers went out early, do they make some shake-it-up changes to shake things up?
It's certainly possible, especially if they go out in, like, the first round and it's not, like, really close and they get bounced, and maybe even if they do, I think the first thing you might see change is you might see a change in coach. Ty Lue's been kind of, there's points where it's been, are they going to move on? Are they going to keep him? What are they going to do? So you could see that be a change. The other thing is, I mean, and this is floating out there right now. Everybody expected when Kawhi Leonard came out and the team announced he signed an extension, here it is. And it was signed with no previous leak, no fanfare of, hey, this guy's going to do this. They're working on it. It just got announced by the team of Kawhi's extended. Now what everybody expected, all right, well, it'll be Paul George next. He's going to be right behind him. That hasn't happened yet. And that's got everybody kind of wondering, what is happening there? You know, why has he not signed yet? You know, what is the reasoning? Is it the Clippers? Is it Paul George? Is Paul George looking at it and saying, you know what, maybe the 76ers and their boatload of cap space that they seem willing to throw his way, maybe that does hold a little bit more interest than we thought. So that's become a situation where I think we're all like, hey, that one will get done soon. There might be a little something going on with that one.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast this morning, and they spent like 10 to 15 minutes just talking about Anthony Edwards and the season that he has had up in Minnesota, you know, averaging a little over 26 points a game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists per game. And I was kind of thinking about this Timberwolves team, and I remember earlier this month when Karl Anthony Towns went out with his injury, there was a lot of kind of question about, well, what will this Timberwolves team be without him? Will they take a step back? But they've continued to roll without him and playing really good basketball. Are you surprised that they've continued to roll without Karl Anthony Towns or with what they have in Anthony Edwards and some of those other pieces, Rudy Gobert, you thought that they would be fine without him?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Conversely to the Clippers who have slipped, that's kind of what I think we all thought might happen with the Timberwolves, is they might slip a little bit here. But instead, the Timberwolves are playing really, really well, and a lot of that is driven by Anthony Edwards and then their defense. They're so good defensively. They make it really, really difficult on opponents to get kind of any momentum going. What you don't see when you watch Minnesota play is there's not a lot of those 12-15-0 runs where the game just turns, and either a close game turns and it's completely away from them, or they blow a lead, or anything like that. You generally see them kind of play pretty even game, and then if anything, they're the ones who turn it on and pull away. And, you know, I think Mike Conley's made a huge difference. I think Kevin Monte Morris has been really big for that team. He's just been so stabilizing. It was when Conley went out of game, their offense would get a little sideways and be a little bit like, all right, just throw it to Edwards and let him do something every single time. Mm-hmm. Now with Morris in there, he comes in, he keeps them kind of moving, just keeps things going. And they've had some other guys scale up their roles without Tom. McDaniels is playing better. So I really think that this is a team that's they're top. I think they're built to be, you know, a dangerous team in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. A lot of eyes have been on college basketball the last couple of weeks with March Madness. I know we talk a lot of draft with you with a lot of these prospects, kind of getting that national exposure during the tournament. I've seen some people kind of say with the early exit in both the SEC tournament and the first round exit in the NCAA tournament that could hurt Reed Sheppard's stock a little bit as we get closer to the draft. What do you think about Reed Sheppard, and do you think that those two performances, those two games for Kentucky, hinders him at all when we get to the draft?
Yeah, you know, the postseason in college basketball is really interesting because – there, it can go one of two ways. If a guy has a really great run in the conference tournament or into the NCAA tournament or one right into the other, and it's a stretch of like, you know, 3-4 weeks where he just plays unbelievable basketball, that can almost kind of turn into, oh, wow, like this guy now, you know, you seem chewed up. Other times, guys hang around, they don't play that well, and you see them get hurt. You see guys get knocked down. So I think for the most part, most scouts, one of the things they'll tell you is you got to trust the full body of work. You got to trust whatever your scout was a month ago. You want to add to it, and you tweak if needed. But if you felt like Reed Sheppard or Rob Dillingham, if you felt like, hey, these are our guys, like I'm really behind these guys, they're going to be starters, they're going to be terrific, you probably don't want to overreact too much and say, oh, geez, you know, now this is all kind of falling apart. You want to kind of stay with that a little bit more because that just makes a lot more sense.
I'm with you on that. Well, limited slate tonight, only two games in the NBA, but the Celtics, they tip off at 6:30. As always, Keith, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll do it again next week.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Keith. Keith Smith joining us every single week to talk the NBA. And I'll be honest, I mean, when I got up this morning, I know Sweet 16, MLB, that's kind of taking center stage today. But when I saw only two games in the NBA, I was a little surprised.
Kind of clearing out for a lot of their traditional Thursday night TV partners as well, you know, for the college basketball. Yeah. And I think appropriate last night, busy night. Mm-hmm. Did you notice the oohs and ahs last night for LeBron?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I thought it was so fun. I had friends in the building. I had a friend and his son from St. Louis that made the drive down yesterday and back after the game because of his work responsibilities. And I texted him early this morning, please tell me you're back safely in the loo. He said, pulled in it too and headed to Busch Stadium now for work stuff with the Cardinals.
Wow.
And he just said it was great, and his child had so much fun. You could feel that last night, and that was a game last night in this kind of year. Okay, what of it? Have fun.
Exactly. And I was about to say, I mean, this kind of the perfect year for it, because I feel like a lot of times you get a star like that that comes in and you know, you want to win that game. You want to get out there, and you don't want him to have that big game and help his team to a victory. But this season, when it's all kind of, you know, lose as many as you
just
can.
Just have funsies.
Just go out there and enjoy.
May I borrow a soccer term?
Please.
Have a friendly.
Exactly. I mean, that's kind of what it is, just a friendly
kind of what it is
for the Grizzlies, right. and just enjoy, I mean, those guys out there.
That's what it's down to, and we knew it a long time ago. One more against the Lakers this year. Mm-hmm. Don't know that we see a lot of LeBron on Friday night, April 12th, on the eve of the play-in for them and potentially the playoffs for them. I felt very fortunate to get him even last night, but we did. Now, all that said, that's the end of all these friendlies I want.
Oh, yeah.
Next year at FedEx Forum, I want it loud, proud, and in your face. Yep. And whenever they come in, it's beat L.A. and got to top them potentially for seeding in the West.
Yeah, no. Get all that out this season, because
that's
next season, it's definitely going to be a year that I think a lot of people within the organization, those players and the fans, are going to think, we need to get back in the mix of being in the playoffs every year.
And Keith Smith made a great point about making up 3 in 9 games. I remember one time Rob Fisher told me, he said, Brett, just think about it. Double everything in the NBA to your baseball mind. You going to make up 6 games in 18 games?
No, it's tough.
Hard.
Really
hard to do. I know this weekend for the Holy Week, for the holidays, you can start your plans at the commissary. In fact, you still have time right now to call and order for the holiday hams or the holiday catering. Let the commissary take care of everything. Here's the number, 901-754-5540. And everybody at the commissary wishes everybody in our listening audience a very safe and happy Easter holiday and Holy Week experience. And hope it's all great with a lot of family and a lot of friends. We know a lot of people are coming in out of town. You're not going to eat every meal at home. You want to go to one of those two great places for the commissary, the new Collierville Commissary at Houston Levy and Poplar, or the original in Germantown. You want to watch the games tonight. Perfect for a big group together at the Collierville Commissary at Houston Levy and Poplar. And the patio is open. Get outside and enjoy that and watch the games and enjoy the Memphis-style barbecue done the slow-cooked Memphis way. If you're craving an easier way to order, text right now, commissary, to 33733. They'll bring it out to you. And, again, to order, and today is the deadline. You got to order now, 901-754-5540 for Easter Sunday. Online at commissarybbq.com as well. Dig into the ribs or shoulder, chopped or pulled on a plate, on a sandwich, all the sides. Six-pack, eight-pack, 12-pack, however you want it, they have it. And the desserts, all that comes, it can be had for Sunday as well, like the strawberry cake, the lemon ice box pie, the banana pudding. 901-754-5540, online at commissarybbq.com in Collierville and Germantown. The party areas, the orders to go, catering, tailgating, anytime, any season, every holiday, all at the commissary, the new Collierville Commissary at Houston Levy and Poplar, or the original in Germantown.
Well, we need to get to a break. Yesterday we did our AL, all of our, you know, standings, picks, and for awards and everything. Today we got to get to the NL, and I just want to put this reminder out there. Brett has said that he is going to try to go as far as he can, as long as he can, without saying anything negative about the sport he loves.
I'm doing great so far, aren't I?
You're doing great, but I just want to...
How long are we into it?
We are, I mean, for you, since we've been on the show, we're about 2.5 hours in, or excuse me, an hour and a half in. For you, it's about 2.5 hours. I just want to say, because we got away from the baseball before the Cardinals got into a hole, so I just want that to be
out
there.
Long season, Brian.
It's a long season. You're right. It's only game one, and it's only, what are we, the fourth inning, fifth inning?
That's right. Already got one back with Goldbaum.
Exactly. So a lot can happen. But let's go ahead and get to a break, and when we come back, we'll make our picks for the NL.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The big boy.
You're a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The big number of the day.
Well, my big number today, I guess you could call it the small number of the day. It goes hand in hand with the Sweet 16 that, well, tip off here in just a little bit. More than an hour at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. But my big number today is the number one. Of the 16 teams remaining in March Madness, only one of them has a starting lineup that consists of nobody that has transferred into their school. We know how big the transfer portal is now in college basketball, and you look around.
Kind of the Dabo Sweeney of college basketball team, huh?
Honestly, it really is.
He doesn't want any portal.
No, and so only one left. You look around, a lot of teams with two or three transfers. Tennessee only has one with Dalton Connect. Houston only has one with LJ Cryer. Good Lord, NC State, all five of their starting guys in their starting lineup are guys from the transfer portal. The only team that does not have a starter that joined their team from the transfer portal would be Duke, with Mark Mitchell, Kyle Filipowski, Tyrese Proctor, Jared McCain, and Jeremy Roach. So, I mean, that really, I know, kind of a small number, only one, but that shocked me when I saw that earlier today.
I'm surprised too. I thought they would have they would have one. We have never had a bigger gap between big numbers of the day ever. You had one, the loneliest number, right?
That's right.
My number is $301,731,074.
Well, you're right about that.
What a number.
301-731-074. That's the Mets opening day payroll. Huh. Second, the Yankees at around 294. Third, the Astros at 237. The Phillies around 237. The Braves around 225. Wow. Rangers sixth at 222. Blue Jays seventh at 221. Dodgers making it, I mean, just making it on the economy line. They're shopping at the discount stand, trudging along at 220 million. Cubs 216. Giants 188. Red Sox, and this is way down for them. Mm-hmm. 164 in 11th. 12th place, St. Louis Cardinals. Wow. At a little less than the Red Sox. Red Sox 164, 800. Cardinals 164, 300. At the bottom, 30th, Oakland. And they got their radio deal in time for opening day.
Oh, man, that's great.
Way to go, A's.
Wow.
Getting it all done on opening day, is it?
Literally. Sounds like Oakland.
About 48 million for Oakland.
Wow.
Pittsburgh at 72. The Marlins at 83. Cleveland, 86. Tampa Bay, as they always do. Yeah. 88 million.
Yeah, no surprise there at all when you're talking about the Red
Orioles at 95, but we know that's going up in a few years.
Oh, yeah. No, that's going to change very, very quickly. Cardinals not doing much better. 6-1 now in the bottom of the seventh, speaking of
heavy underdog.
That's right.
220, Dodgers favored.
Well, there you go again, trying to bring some positive in it.
Yeah.
A little positive spin.
Freddie Freeman was ready, wasn't he?
Sure was. I mean,
positive break.
Nobody ready for opening day like Freddie Freeman. I mean, he's just always
ready.
Ready
Freddie, that's why they call him that.
That's a great point. Only two hits so far for the Cardinals today, and both of them coming from Paul Goldschmidt. So
I'm at SpotTrack. Smith always, I'm at their site, and they have it broken down, the payroll numbers, 26-man roster, injured reserve,
uh-huh,
retained, I don't really know what that means, and buried. Don't know what that means.
Nice.
Just in retained money, the Mets are at $64 million, which is more than the A's total payroll.
That is crazy.
It really is.
That's insane.
They met in the World Series in 1973.
And now look at them. That's crazy.
A long time ago.
Yeah, but I mean, we said it the other day. When you're spending that much, there comes expectations along with it, and that fan base in New York is not going to settle for another mediocre season.
They're not.
And
they sure won't in any case, but especially if the Yankees go out and have the year they should have.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point.
The Mets do a lot of dumb things in the name of keeping up.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And right now, Yankees and Astros tied in the bottom of the sixth, 4-4. Mets on the other side, we talked about it yesterday, their first game got postponed along with the Braves. So no opening day today for them, but they're the only two games, only four teams so far with postponed games. Let's go ahead and wrap up our second hour and get to a break. When we come back, we're talking Tigers with Greg Gaston.